This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. This is Now with Dave Brown. It's Friday, and that means we've reconvened the Now News panel, but with a couple of twists this week. So Dave is away. I will be taking his spot on the panel. And we are pleased to have Juwita Gupta, host of The Pulse, here with us this week. And as always, Michelle McQuigg, weekend national editor at the Canadian Press, rounds out our crew. So Juwita, welcome to the panel. Thanks for being here. Can we check Juwita? Hello, Juwita.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We've got you now. Excellent. And Michelle, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And nice to get the band back together from an old-timey incarnation panel.
That's right. Jumping in the old time machine for sure. All right. Our first topic is COVID-19 in Alberta. On Friday, June 18th, Jason Kenney declared that as of July 1st, Alberta would be, quote, open for summer. That meant health restrictions meant to protect Albertans from COVID-19 would be at their lowest threshold in months. It meant the Calgary Stampede would be held with crowds in attendance. It meant that, as Kenny put it, the end of this terrible time is just 2 weeks away. At the time, Dr. Noel Gibney, a professor emeritus in the Department of Critical Care Medicine at the University of Alberta, said reopening was risky. Gibney, who also serves as co-chair of the Edmonton Zone Medical Staff Association's Pandemic Response Committee, said the province needed to be careful to monitor cases and plan for the possibility of another clampdown. He said the rapid spread of the variant in the UK should serve as a warning and expected the Delta variant to become Alberta's dominant strain by the end of July and contribute to a surge of cases in September. Whether there's a fourth wave or a fourth bump, I think time will tell. We're going to see an increase in cases, but what that translates into is really the question. Now, the warning, among others, was not heeded, and earlier this week, Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's chief medical officer, admitted the reopening was premature.
The expectations did not match reality, and very shortly after we started that endemic path, we could see already from that comparison with actuals and the modeling data within a couple of weeks that we weren't seeing the decoupling we expected and really had to shift and walk back about, okay, we're not ready yet. We need to take more time. And as everyone knows, we've needed to put additional measures in place.
Alberta now has the highest active COVID case count in the country. It also set a record for intensive care admissions earlier this week at 202 people receiving critical care. On Wednesday, Premier Jason Kenney declared a public health emergency and says the province will bring in a COVID-19 passport. Kenney says he'd always been reluctant to bring in a passport program.
I had earlier committed not to introduce proof of vaccination because of concerns I had around privacy rights. But the government's first obligation must be to avoid large numbers of preventable deaths. We must deal with the reality that we are facing. We cannot wish it away.
But Kenny also pointed out, quote, I don't apologize for not maintaining lockdown style policies permanently, but I do apologize for having predicted we could open for good. Michelle, this is your topic, and let me start by asking, what kind of apology was that?
That's a good question, and one that a lot of people are asking themselves right now, because that has riled a lot of people. There's another very interesting component to this apology that you didn't mention that has come up in some other coverage, and that's the fact that he said that he feels a leader's job is to offer up some hope. He said that explicitly. So there seem to be a number of contradictory messages contained in there. You heard the clip just now about preventing deaths that could have been foreseen and that could have been stopped. And then in the next breath, you heard the rest of it, saying that he didn't apologize for maintaining lockdown measures permanently. It's an apology that's riled a lot of people, and the reversal itself is extremely striking on so many levels. Not only is it just a really shocking and horrifying case of what's happening right now in terms of COVID and how the fourth wave can spread in ways that it simply hasn't in other provinces with higher vaccination rates. But it's landing in the middle of a federal election. And as we know, provincial happenings can have ramifications on the federal trail. And this one is a particular one. The Liberals have been going after vaccines and conservative COVID response throughout the campaign. And then in this final week comes this glaring example of exactly the kind of worst-case scenario they've been trying to paint throughout the campaign. And now people are having to respond to it on the double. We don't even know how it's going to impact elections. In election day itself in Alberta on Monday. So ramifications all around, but also just a very interesting case study and all kinds of things that I thought we could sink our teeth into.
Yeah, I think the comment about hope sort of stood out to me because you want to give hope, but I think leaders ultimately, first and foremost, have to offer reality. And truth, not just hope. I think hope sometimes can be kind of fleeting and unrealistic. Joita, was this a case of politics winning out over health policy?
I think the decision to open in the summer certainly was politically motivated. You know, remember that Jason Kenney is probably amongst the more libertarian premiers in the country and is of the belief, his personal belief, I think, is that there should be minimal government intervention in the lives of private citizens. And so less is more in his point of view. And under those circumstances, to an extent, when Jason Kenney's government reopened in the summer, they were, I believe, pandering to their base. If you think back to the apology, there is certainly an undercurrent of defensiveness around the decision to reopen in the summer. And of course, now, as you pointed out correctly, Mike, there's, you know, on the one hand, what Jason Kenney might want himself, but I think buckling under pressure from his government, buckling under advice, and frankly, with reality creeping in, he's had to reverse course on this. At the end of the day, you know, it was very interesting, and I watched with something akin to stunned disbelief over the summer, Dina Hinshaw basically saying that they were opening up. And I remember thinking back then, wait a minute, I don't think that's right. And I'm not an epidemiologist, so what do I know? But, you know, I still thought this isn't right. And so I don't know the backstory there, whether she buckled to political pressure or what was going on back there. But certainly in the summer, I think they made the transition away from treating this like a pandemic and treating it as though it was endemic far too quickly. And even Jason Kenney now acknowledges that.
I think you both know I'm, you know, usually the guy who puts a skeptic hat on, you know, before any other garb. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Joita, on that. When I heard Jason Kenney talking about, you know, the this is all going to be gone in 2 weeks, and honestly, the joy with which he was declaring that the Calgary Stampede was going to be back, and the premier's flapjack breakfast and everything else was going to return, I just thought, wow, it seems like there's been just caution thrown to the wind, and we're just way, way, way too positive and energetic about this open for summer. Because to me, open for summer was so irresponsible that the new slogan has to be closed for fall. Like that to me, that's just the new slogan.
It certainly seems like it's heading that way, especially when you considered at the time that the vaccination rates within the province were lagging behind and continue to lag behind so many others. So at the time, it was very interesting to watch the Open for Summer plan be announced alongside a whole bunch of other reopening efforts elsewhere. When the vaccine rate, I don't remember what it was at the time, but I can certainly say that right now, only about 72% of Albertans are fully vaccinated compared to north of 80% in many provinces. Mm-hmm. And certainly almost 80% nationally. So that adds another layer
yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
And I think you're quite right to ask about Dina Hinshaw. And I assure you, a lot of Alberta-based journalists are asking similar questions right now and are going to be trying to find out. And maybe stories will emerge in the months and years to come. Maybe not. But that's certainly a question that some people are going to be occupying some time trying to solve.
But Joita, correct me if I'm wrong. I seem to remember a point earlier this year where there was a leaked piece of audio of Dina Hinshaw talking about political pressures being put on the Alberta health services and the people making the decisions it was supposed to be coming from a place of science, and in fact, it was coming from a place of politics. Am I misremembering that?
No, and Michelle, you know, feel free to jump in and tell me if I'm misremembering. I do remember something like this taking place in the summer. In fact, I even remember the rumor that she was supposed to or was very close to resigning. And remember, to your point about the Calgary Stampede as well, that's another source of pressure. The economy was in a bit of a slump. It had been even before COVID-19. And I'm sure there was pressure coming from some quarters saying, we've got to reopen for business. We've got to have the Stampede coming in because that's a major source of revenue, and that I'm sure was part of what fed into the decision to open in the summer.
I think that that's a great point.
That goes right back to your question about politics, about whether things are driven by health decision or political decisions. And I think there are themes to be noted when you look at the provincial response based on the partisan stripe of the government that's calling the shots. You do hear economic talk a lot more from conservative-led governments, even if they haven't all adopted the same policies. There definitely has been greater reluctance from conservative-led governments to either maintain public health measures or impose them in the first place or move to different levels of a lockdown. You have seen that play out time and again in the past 18 months, and now you're hearing it a lot on the campaign trail. It's definitely the drum that you're going to see some of the parties hitting the hardest into the home stretch, I think.
Yeah, certainly Alberta was a province that had a beat-up economy for a couple of years. And, you know, the just drive through Calgary and you notice and you hear about the number of vacancies in the downtown core, corporations that have shut down or moved away. It has not been a pretty scene for the last couple of years in Alberta. So, you know, that is absolutely a pressure point from a political standpoint that is quite real. And by no means are we questioning the reality of the economic pressures that Alberta's felt. But we're wondering about the fact that political pressure and the economy wins out over public health measures. And really, I mean, when you think about the political landscape in this country, it feels like, you know, Alberta's not alone. It feels like places like Saskatchewan and Ontario and some of the Atlantic provinces as well sort of have that same political landscape, thus the same sort of reaction. But one thing that I can tell you, and just based on reading about Dr. Gibner's sort of prediction in Alberta back in June, with regards to the Delta variant and saying, you know what, look at Great Britain and we should learn from them. It feels like we've should have at many points during this pandemic learned from what's happened in Europe, because it was always a couple of weeks. We were always a couple of weeks behind. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like we never, ever did, or very often did not, and end up suffering the consequences.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that. That was certainly the case around the week before everything shut down here is when we started hearing about triage protocols being implemented in European countries, crowded hospitals in Italy. That's when all that footage started to circulate through. But it's the Alberta situation is just particularly striking in that not only now have there been international examples before everyone, but lots of domestic ones. We've had 13 different jurisdictions imposing 13 different sets of rules. There's been lots of collaboration among first ministers, and the federal government's been involved too. And even lessons unfolding closer to home have not necessarily been registered or been registered in ways that maybe some might not expect.
We heard a clip. Juita, I want to throw this to you. We heard a clip of in our top headlines this morning of a Calgary voter who says that the next election in Alberta is going to be a costly one for Jason Kenney, in his opinion. The next general election in Alberta is legislatively set to happen between March 1st and May 31st, 2023. Is that enough time for Jason Kenney to erase this from the minds of Alberta voters, or do you think it sticks around?
Good question. So wasn't it Harold Wilson? Now, tell me if it was someone else, but wasn't it Harold Wilson who said that a week is too long in politics? So 2 years really is an eternity.
Yeah.
And a lot could happen in 2 years, right? Now, I'm going to forecast a couple of scenarios. In one scenario, we get done with COVID-19 in, let's say 6 months, right? So you get done in 6 months, I think everything is forgotten and forgiven by voters. I think in that situation, Jason Kenney could recuperate. If, however, in a second scenario, we're a year and a half later, you know, and we're still dealing with COVID-19, voters in Alberta are going to look back on the summer and the hasty reopening, and then they're going to hold Jason Kenney accountable. The other thing to keep in mind is if you look back to what happened in 2015, how many of us were surprised that the NDP formed government in Alberta? If you look at the polls right now, the NDP is actually doing quite well. And one of the reasons that the NDP won in 2015 was because of vote splitting on the right, because there was a split in the party.
Yep.
So if right now, because of the decision to close, it causes this alienation amongst a portion of Jason Kenney's supporters, we might see another party form, which is far more to the right of Jason Kenney's Conservative Party, which could, again, down the road, lead to vote splitting in the next elections in Alberta, which would then open up the opportunity for the NDP to swoop in there and form government. The other thing I want to go back to is what Michelle said earlier, which is, you know, there's only about 72% of the population, which is below the national average, has gotten vaccinated. 72% is still not nothing. Mm-hmm. 72% is a majority of Albertans who have worn masks, gotten their vaccines, and are looking at Jason Kenney and going, you've dropped the ball here. Yeah. And those are people who are looking for an alternative. And that alternative could end up being the NDP, depending on how long the pandemic lasts.
Michelle, last word to you.
Yeah, I agree with Joita in that certainly in terms of time, he does have all the time he needs to theoretically recover. But so much depends on what plays out. And I think it's worth noting, too, that there already has been damage done by this pandemic. Even internally, there have been many caucus revolts. There have been splits within the UCP already. I think this situation is going to probably exacerbate those divides. I think the vaccine passport, or the rather proof of vaccination issue, is one that could continue to plague him, because that will not play very well at all with a big part of the base. And it represents a big reversal from a previously stated policy. So opposition parties have all kinds of ammo heading into 2023, whenever they do this election, regardless of how things play out in the coming months. And just the nature of the issues at hand here suggests to me that they're going to drag on long enough that perhaps that window for recovery is narrower than it looks right now.
I also think it goes beyond the opposition. I think if there's someone within that UCP party that has some leadership ambitions and sees some cracks in the armor of Jason Kenney, they may take advantage as well. So it'll be interesting to watch from within the party as well. A great start to the news panel. Up next, our next topic, the ethics and optics of anti-vaccination protests at Canadian hospitals. This is the Now News Panel on AMI.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.